This episode was brought to you by Canalyst. In this four-part miniseries, I sit down with Canalyst client Ryan Cope from American Century Investments and talk about how Ryan found out about Canalyst, how he got involved in small cap investing, and his favorite aspects of using the Canalyst models for him and his team. So Ryan, I think the right place to begin our conversation today is with a background on American Century and on you and the strategies that you manage. We'll start at the high level with the company. I think American Century is a name that may ring true for some of the listeners, but I think they'd be surprised at just the scope and the size of it. So just give us a quick overview of American Century, where it came from, what it does, and the scope of the business.
Yeah, of course. American Century actually has a really interesting background. So it was founded in Kansas City about 60 years ago as an investment management firm by Jim Stowers. In the mid-1990s, Jim and his wife, Virginia, were both cancer survivors, and they decided to really make a difference with their wealth. So they gave away 95% of their wealth to found the Stowers Institute for Medical Research, which is a world-class biomedical research facility here in Kansas City dedicated to understanding and ultimately looking for cures to gene-based diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's. So every year, 40% of our profits in the form of dividends go to fund the work at the Stowers Institute. And since the year 2000, that's over $1 billion.
Wow. What's the size of the firm itself in terms of client assets or, you know, whatever you think the right measurement is?
We're now a global asset management firm with offices across the world, and we manage over $225 billion today.
What's the nature of the strategies? Like, if you had to sum up what united the various strategies that investors participate in, what's the common DNA?
Well, American Century started as a growth shop, and in the late 90s, introduced a value discipline, which is where I live today. But we really are across the asset spectrum, all types of different strategies and asset allocation models. Whatever people are looking for, American Century has the ability to offer that today.
What's your own background and how you got there? So you mentioned the value background. What does that mean to you? These terms have become ubiquitous, but sometimes it means different things. So what does value mean to you? How did you get to American Century?
Yeah, so for me personally, I started at American Century as an intern in 2008 and full-time in 2009 after business school. I've been on the small cap value team since 2012. If you were to ask my parents or my wife, I've been a value investor my whole life. If you look in my garage, you'll find my 2015 Honda Accord in there. And I think value investing just really resonated with me as a person. And I found a great fit with the small cap value team at American Century.
Yeah, I love that. If you extrapolate the car into the investment strategy, how does that show up most reliably?
I think it's always looking for a high quality investment, but paying a good price for that item. And so I think a Honda Accord fits that bill perfectly. Something that's very reliable is not going to get us into trouble as investors or as a driver, but is affordable and was able to buy it at a good price, you know, a discount to its fair value, if you will.
What's your perspective on small cap relative to what's become a very large cap dominated market, not just in terms of where the assets are, but just in terms of the companies you hear talked about? I'm sure a lot of your portfolio people might be unfamiliar with. Why play in this space relative to the big, fast growing FANG type names?
Yeah, so we get super excited about small cap value stocks every day. And I totally understand why others don't, but I'm confident that there's going to be a place for active management in the small cap value space indefinitely. There's significant inefficiencies. So we've seen it this year with stocks like GameStop and AMC, which are both in our small cap value benchmark. Unlike in those meme stocks, over long periods of time, it's really fundamentals that drive stock prices. And the ability to efficiently analyze those fundamentals is really what gives us our edge on our small cap value, small cap income team at American Century.
So when you're looking at, let's just imagine there's a new company you've never seen before. Walk us through the way in which you approach a new company.
Yeah. So one of the other great aspects of the small cap universe is that it's so large. So there's always more stones to turn over, if you will. So one of the first steps that we would do is to pull up historical financials for a business and make sure that we understand, you know, this is a profitable business. This is a high quality business. This is not something that's super cyclical. We're very focused on balance sheets and free cash flow. We want to see that they can turn those earnings into free cash flow that they can then either redistribute to us in the form of dividends or reinvest in their business at high rates of return.
When you think about the types of industries in small cap versus in large cap, you have a lot of these like winner take most type dynamics. Small cap seems like there's just a ton of diversification. How do you think about sectors or how you build a portfolio? this will start to bridge into how you use Canalyst, but it just seemed like you'd have to know a lot of different kinds of business models to do well in this space.
That's exactly right. So a lot of the companies that we own in our portfolio might be a supplier to one of those winner-take-all larger cap companies where they're just making some niche but very critical component that goes into those larger processes or larger equipment. Yeah, you're exactly right. There's a very wide range of types of businesses that you have to understand. And I think it's something that on our team, all five of us really love that very broad business analysis, if you will.
Do you think it's fair to describe, use the Bezos concept of undifferentiated heavy lifting when it comes to the process of building company models? And here I'm interested in how you first heard of Canalyst and sort of the job that the service does for you.
Yeah, that's a great question. So to answer your second one first, we first heard of Canalyst through actual testimonials from users on social media, Twitter, and then through targeted ads on great podcasts like yours, Patrick. I would say we were skeptical, though, at first on the reliability of the data. You know, we've used lots of data providers over time. And especially when you get down to the smaller companies, there's nobody that's fact-checking, if you will. And so Canalyst, one thing that we found very valuable is that human touch that Canalyst adds. And we found their data to be significantly more reliable than some of the data dump providers that we've used in the past.
Can you say a bit more about what that means, human touch? So what very specifically is the difference between, you know, you open a Canalyst model or you open a XYZ model from some other data provider? Like, what does that human touch create?
There's a number of things. The first is just the reliability of the data. So they have people that double check every single input into their models. The second, and maybe more important, is really the driver section. So they have someone that goes into the model and understands really what is driving the revenue for a given company and breaks that out in drivers, where if you're trying to do a one size fits all pull from a 10K, you simply cannot do that with the size of the universe in the small cap space.
I think that we've talked about elsewhere ahead of this conversation of the difference between analyzing and inputting. Can you just talk about what that difference is and what gets lost, if anything, from not inputting the data yourself and what having a clean, good model allows you to spend your time on instead?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, and I think that's the best way to put it, really. So Canalyst opens up time for our portfolio managers and our analysts to really do the most value add aspect of our daily work, which is analyze the numbers rather than inputting them, as you mentioned. With thousands and thousands of companies out there, any more time that we get to do what we love as small cap value investors, which is finding new and interesting businesses that the market doesn't appreciate, is extremely valuable time for us. So that's really what that frees us up to do.
Can you talk a little bit specifically about literally on your desktop, like how you're using Canalyst? So what are the dimensions of it that you use that matter? Are there ones you don't use? How do you use it today?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, we heard about Canalyst about 3 years ago. We started trialing it then, and we've been continuing to adapt it to our process. One of my favorite Canalyst tools is their updater. So in our small cap value portfolio, we have about 100 names, and in our small cap income portfolio, about 70 names. So earnings season can be a bit overwhelming. We have a quarterly template so that when a company reports, we use the Canalyst updater to bring in all of the data, which has been fact checked for the metrics that we are focused on, directly into our model, really within a few hours of a company reporting. So with the 150 companies across both of our portfolios, you can imagine the benefit of saving roughly an hour per company each quarter by not having to input that data.
Just so I understand, so when you say the updater is putting new information after an earnings release directly into your model, what do you mean by your model? Is this like a Canalyst model that you've tweaked, or is it just a de novo, like custom Excel model that you've somehow marked, like a certain cell should get populated with the updater via Canalyst? How does it literally work?
Yeah, it's actually a little bit different than other providers we've used in the past, but the way Canalyst model works is you download it from their website. Once you do that, it lives entirely on your own computer, and you can make whatever tweaks that you need to that model and add in additional ratios. You can really do anything that you need to, except for touch one of their automatic rows. And so when you use the updater, it doesn't mess with any of the customized formulas or information that you've input. It just updates the same information that it had before, and it pulls directly into that model that you've updated. It actually creates a new spreadsheet with a new date.
Got it. So you might have, you and another Canalys user that's covering the same small cap industrial or something could have drastically different, you know, looking spreadsheets or models. And that's all based on the work you do yourself, but there's just common items that back to undifferentiated heavy lifting that Canalys updates. So you don't have to do that, whatever hour process per quarter.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we had compliance issues with sharing our proprietary information, and the way that Canalys is set up, you do not have to share that proprietary information.
How do you see this progressing? It makes me think back to those great stories about the Fishbeck brothers shorting stocks by like being at the Library of Congress and getting the 10K first and calling their trader ahead of time, like the sort of information arbitrage. It seems to me like the way you're using Canalys isn't necessarily like you're trading on information that's coming faster, but rather you're using it to just free up time in your own process to do more value added work. How do you see that going forward? So none of this stuff is static. Your process isn't static. Canalys product isn't static. In what ways do you think those both get better over time?
Yeah, that's a good question. You're exactly right. There's nothing coming in from the Canalys data feeds that is proprietary information to us. So everything that we do is layered on top of that. In terms of how that evolves over time, I think the data, as you've mentioned in the past, is going to become more and more of a commodity. So it's going to make the analysis that's done of that data more and more important. And as I mentioned, I think there's going to be continue to be a place for active management and good analysis of that data indefinitely into the future.
Can you mention a little bit about the small cap income strategy? I think that's kind of a weird, unique space, right? Like you think that the bigger companies pay more dividends, but there are small ones that do too. And what is interesting about that category to you? And how does that map onto all this discussion of tooling and Canalys specifically?
Yeah, so that's a very unique strategy that we have focused on delivering income in the small cap space. Small caps actually have a few huge advantages relative to large caps for income purposes. So first is diversification. So we have totally different sector exposures than you'd expect from a large cap equity income product. Second is a bigger universe of dividend paying companies. So there's over 1,800 small cap companies who pay a dividend, compared to about 380 in the S&P 500. And as a function of the smaller company size, these stocks have both more capital appreciation potential and more dividend growth potential as well. So our portfolio yields about 3% today, and we're really excited about it. And we think it's an undiscovered asset class. So both of our strategies are managed by a team of five people. So as we expanded that universe and explicitly began to focus on income, we started looking for efficiency tools. And that's exactly when we came across the Canalys platform.
Can you say anything else about why income and efficiency are paired? What is it about that category that the efficiency variable becomes important?
Well, it was really just expanding our universe of coverage. But for instance, an example of something that we do different in that small cap income process is that we really stress test the dividends for each of these companies. And so that's something that Canalys allows us to do extremely easily and uniformly across the entire portfolio.